Chris and I go back many, many years. And when I first saw him, I knew his mother before I met Chris. And we connected right away with his mom, especially in his family. We had tremendous prayer times together. And I remember she asked me to pray for her son one day. And I did. And I didn't know him. And then I saw him eventually. And I'm not going to expand on that. But the minute I saw him, I knew that God had his hand on his life. Instant, I just knew it. I never knew what God was going to do. Yeah, I mean, as far as in what capacity, I knew God had called him for something. I just didn't know what exactly. And when I saw what the Lord had done in his life and what he's doing in his life, I was just so overwhelmed. I saw this young boy coming in basically off the streets, and man, oh man, did God ever do an incredible work in his life. Gave so many people so much hope. Unbelievable how he has touched so many people just in Brantford alone. People that he knew in the past that have come to Christ because of his example and his lifestyle. And I tell you, we're honored to have you back again. And Chris, Duff, it's Christophe, Ulysse. Ay, ay, ay. We love you, man.
Love you, man.
We're so glad you're with us.
Wow. Praise God. Well, yeah, I get to travel to a lot of places, a lot of different churches. And Pastor D, most often, it's the opposite problem. The churches look so good on the outside, and everything's all nice and flashy. But there's no presence of God. There's no power of the kingdom of heaven. Over here, it seems you guys got the opposite problem. Yo, that's real. But yo, I'll take that any day. I'll take that any day. For real, I mean, you can buy a new roof, you can buy a new building, you can manufacture flashy LED, you know, this and that, flat, but you can't, the present, that only comes through prayer. That only comes through prayer. Woo, I'll take that any day. And it's real, you know, we were talking last time about, just by a show of hands, how many were here last time I was with you guys? Just so I can know. All right, cool. Oh, that's a lot of people. I can't use the same jokes. Dang. Oh, I gotta get new. All right. But wow, like, when I was here last, I was like, this is incredible. It's not a mystery. Revival is not some mysterious thing that only the few, you know, fortune, like, oh, this, maybe like lightning will strike and we'll have revival. We'll be one of the lucky churches. That is so crazy. It's so simple, right? It's a culture. It's a culture of prayer. It's a culture of hungering for the things of God, a culture of holiness and believing that the Holy Spirit can actually empower us to walk in victory. Amen? So when I come into a place like this, though, I must say that there is something very special happening at Logos Church. There's something very unique happening here. My wife and I, my team, we are going home. That's all we were talking about since the last time I was here. Is what is God doing in this place? And you have to understand that sometimes familiarity can breed contempt. You have to take a step back and realize the sovereign anointing, blessing, breakthrough that is happening right here and right now. Whew. It's like, you know what I was reminded of? I was reminded of Jacob's ladder at Bethel, where he saw an open heaven and there was a ladder going up to heaven, and he saw the angels ascending and descending, and he said, this is the place. There is an open heaven above this place. There is an open heaven above this place. The atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, it's like the veil between the natural and the supernatural is so thin. So if you're here today and you're visiting or you come, like, today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day of breakthrough. Whew, there's so much. Oh, I remember here last time I was here, just seeing God come in and touch lives in a tangible way. We're not just talking to the sky. We're not just talking about a guy from history. We're talking about a living, resurrected Jesus that is alive and can touch lives for real. For real. This is not a joke. This is not a game. We're not just here playing church to dress up and come and to just appease our conscience. I went to church. But Jesus is alive and he wants to come and break into your life, to break into your storyline, to break into your story and bring transformation. Praise God. You know, last Sunday that I was here, we were staying, and there was a family that stuck around to the end, and they were saying, "Hey, we heard about you talking about this Jesus that's able to bring breakthrough." And they said, "Something just came to our memory when when my son was 12 years old. We were at the flea market just over here, and some lady came up and said, "Hey, can I read? Can I do a reading on him? I see something over him. Can I read his palm? I want to read your palm." She didn't really know any better. The family didn't really know any better, so they allowed her to do it and ended up putting a curse on both of them. At the time, they don't call it a curse. They call it a reading, right? So they said, "This son will cause you suffering your whole life. This son will cause you suffering your whole life." And that son ended up going on and having a lot of difficulties, in and out of jail, struggling in the streets, causing a lot of pain for his family. His mom would weep all the time for him. And we said, "Well, very simply put, this is a curse, but the living Jesus has the power to really intervene and break this curse." Again, it's not complicated. It's so simple, right? So we start to pray, and God came in and was able to break it off of both mom and son. And there was a powerful freedom. She said she was able to turn with tears in her eyes. She said, "Something just lifted off of me. I feel free. I feel different. I feel light. Like something, just like the weight of the world just came off my soul." And with tears in her eyes, she said, I can look in his eyes for the first time since he was 12. I can look at his face. It's handsome. His face used to remind me of the devil, but now I can see his face and it's handsome. I said, "Turn to your son and say that." And with tears in her eyes, she was able to look at her son and say, "Your eyes are beautiful. Your face is handsome. I love you, son." Woo! Hallelujah! I've been in touch with the family since, and the mom is still walking in that victory. Praise God! Praise God! You know, I'm so blessed to just be back. Pastor Dino invited me to come back today. We didn't think it was possible. Tomorrow's our last day in Canada. We're going back to Hawaii where we live. And we have other events planned today. But I said, you know what? This church, there's such an open heaven in this place. How can I move other things back this afternoon so that I could be here today? Because I didn't want to miss it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to miss what God wants to do today. But I just love being back in Canada. I love being reminded of what God is. I mean, trust me, I've seen places in the nations, and this kind of reminds me what God is doing in other places that I go to, though. So, like, one of the things that we do, it's kind of like, if you can imagine, like Elijah versus the prophets of Baal, if you remember that story, right? So Elijah is saying, "Hey, let's just build an altar over here. Let's bring all the whole nation of Israel together. Let's bring everyone. Let's gather the whole city. Let's get maybe like the biggest soccer field that we can. Let's invite everyone in. And let's say, which God answers by fire? Which is the real God and which is the fake one?" Right? So he comes and brings it in. Say, "Which is the real living God?" Public, bold demonstration of the kingdom of heaven. The proclamation of his word. So that's kind of what we do on a day-to-day basis. That's our focus of our ministry, and that's what's going on. I remember even being in India and seeing people literally rushing forward for salvation and trampling each other to the point where we had to jump in the crowd and pull the kids up so that they didn't get squished. It's almost like, you know, you see on Boxing Day? You know Boxing Day, right? At Best Buy or whatever, Walmart cats are just like, "Get me that!" Just pulling hair and like, what is going on? It's the Boxing Day reaction to the Easter Sunday message. Woo! But that's hunger. But that's reality. When the real and living God shows up, and it's not just it's not just fanciful speech, but it's the demonstration of his love and power. Something's got to give me that. I'll get that. Woo! Get out my way. There's a hunger that creates faith, that creates breakthrough. It's so simple. The hungry will be filled. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. It's so simple. That's what I see here. That's what I see here. People that aren't afraid to come to the front and say, Jesus, I need you. God, I want a little bit of more of you in my life. I don't care what people, I just need you. And something's going to happen. Breakthrough has to happen because his word promised it. So I love being back in Canada. It's not just for overseas. It's not just for over there. God's doing it here. It's here. It's the same God. It's the same Spirit. Pray for us. We saw so many people saved. We traveled to many nations, but in India in particular, we saw so many people saved. The government kicked us out. So I can't go back. Yeah, we probably saw over 20,000 decisions for Christ in the time that we've been going to India. Jesus. So the government won't let me back in for now. But you know what I said? Hey, enemy, you trying to block us here. God's going to open a bigger door. Watch. And I was thinking maybe down the road a couple years. And within like a couple months, we get invitations to go to Pakistan, Nepal, Myanmar, like closed Muslim nations. But there's something about the light. It was meant for hard and dark places. Amen? So, but I love being back in Canada. I'm reminded of all the testimonies and what God is doing here. God is doing something in Canada. God is doing something in Mississauga. God is doing something in Brantford. God is doing something where you are at. I'm reminded of a testimony real quick. Just want to encourage us with another testimony. Seeing my brother here with me. There was this young man. The spiritual realm is real. You know that? I'm not just going to assume that we're all just here and we understand that the spiritual world. Let me just take a little testimony here to remind us how real the spiritual world really is. So there's this young man, and he had a younger brother whose name was Terrell, and they grew up. They were from a broken home, so really all they had was each other as brothers, right? Sometimes it would be so bad at home that they would just go take two towels and go out and sleep on the basketball court because they didn't want to sleep at home. So all they really had was each other, right? Tyson, the older brother, ends up, you know, they end up growing up, and he becomes an amateur mixed martial arts fighter. And one day he won his fight in like 15 seconds. So they're out and they're celebrating the victory, and they're just out, you know, downtown London, Ontario here. And they encounter some other guys that are, you know, just on the street, bump into each other. And the pride thing, you know, just a glance. They didn't even know each other from before. It's just that look. And no one wanted to look away, cause a problem. Next thing you know, a big fight breaks out. Tyson, the older brother, is fighting three guys. And there's a whole, you know, big mob of fighting happening. And then all the three guys run. And he thinks, oh, wow, I knew I was good. I didn't know I was that good. And then three guys just run. But then he turns around. And he sees his brother laying on the ground. He sees his younger brother, Terrell, lying on the ground. Two shots in his chest and one in his neck. So he goes home and he's completely distraught, completely undone, having no idea what to do. A family member came and said, well, you can do a seance. You can summon his spirit from the other side, and we can find out who the shooter was, and we can find out where Terrell's spirit is right now. Because they didn't know. You can't just play with the spiritual realm if you don't know what you're doing. So they did a seance. And as they're calling Terrell's spirit back from the dead, all of a sudden upstairs, they just start to hear a banging of a chair. They think, oh, something's going, no one else is in the house. Say, we're not afraid. Keep coming. Chair starts banging louder and louder. They keep calling it. Finally. They realize that they've crossed the line. They decide to stop. However, from that night on, at 3 o'clock in the morning, in that room where they did the seance, the light would turn on, the radio would turn on. They had a military trained Rottweiler. This thing used to scare me, man. One time, this thing is so crazy. One time, Tyson was just wrestling with a friend in the front yard. He thought Tyson was in trouble. He broke the chain to come and rescue. This thing was a beast. It reminded me of a little horse or like this is a dog, which responded to military trained commands in German. This thing was trained. It would come into the room. It would get in attack mode and just look at a fixed point on the wall and start to growl and then whimper and run out of the room. Animals can sense stuff that we can't. But even to the point where Tyson, as an amateur trained mixed martial arts fighter, the darkness and the presence was in his room so thick, he couldn't, and the lights are on and everything, but he couldn't even just get off the bed to go and turn off the lights or anything. Because the fear and the darkness and the presence was so thick in the room, haunting him all the time. So now he has insomnia, and he's looking in all the different religions to try to, he's looking in Islam to try to figure, he's looking in the Bhagavad Gita and Hinduism, he's looking in even science and maybe the second law of thermodynamics. He's researching, what could this possibly be in my room to try to explain it or try to remedy this haunting that's happening in his room every night. But nothing's working, right? So finally, he's just flipping. Now he has insomnia. He's just flipping through TV one day. And he comes across the old school, like, 70s Jesus movie. You know that one? The Jesus film or something like that. And he sees this scene. And in the scene, Jesus just comes up to someone who's tormented by evil spirits. And he just says, go. And the man's set free. And he says, who is this guy? The next time, 3 o'clock in the morning, lights turn on, stereo turns on, dog comes in the room, barks at the wall and runs whimpering out of the room. He just says, in Jesus' name, leave. And the thing left. And didn't come back. Like, Jesus is real for real. And it gets even better. Check this out. Because it doesn't stop there, right? So because this is a lifestyle, it's not just break me out of my problem and my situation. It's a lifestyle of victory and breakthrough. Amen? Right? So he's curious. But because he's trained as a high-level fighter, he's thinking, if I could just get some training to tell me more about this Jesus, we can walk in this victory, this lifestyle. So he reaches out, and through a friend of a friend, he ends up getting connected with one of my close brothers, Jeffrey, who's actually here. Well, Jeff, just raise your hand, bro. Yeah, man. Give it up for that's my brother Jeffrey right there. So Jeffrey owns a construction company. He owns a construction company. They often work away from home, or they have to sleep at a hotel for a week at a time or whatever. But sometimes he's with his family there and they're working far distances. He said to Tyson, he said, why don't you come in? He's not a pastor. He's not a deacon at the church. He's not on the work. He just said, he's just a regular brother. But he said, hey, why don't you just come and live with me and my family while we're working construction? I'll give you a job. I'll use whatever I can, my company, to come and give you a job and to help show you more about Jesus. And so Tyson ended up blossoming and growing in his faith to the point where now it's the murder trial of the guys who shot Terrell. Remember, Terrell is the only real family member he's had his whole life. And he's compelled. They make you write a victim impact statement. The victim impact statement is you write, you say, this is my only real family member I had. When you took him, you took my heart. I'm now I need medication so I can sleep. I can't really work a steady job. This is how much you impacted me negatively. So then the judge hopefully gives a harsher sentence to the killer, right? So you have to pre-write your victim impact statement so that you just don't go crazy and start cursing the person or, you know, something in the middle. You write it out, it gets approved by the lawyer. So check this out. He's on the stand. Jeff and I were coming. We were coming all the way from Brantford, so we weren't actually in the courtroom when it happened, but we were just coming in on the outside of the lobby of the courtroom. And Tyson sits, is on the stand there, and he turns to the guys who killed Terrell, and he says, I want to forgive you. He tears up the victim impact statement. I want to forgive you because Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my dirt. Hallelujah. Whew, I don't know, man. People were, Jeff and I were on the outside, we're coming into the thing, and we just saw people starting running out of the courtroom weeping. I'm like, what's going on in there? Tyson's now a pastor in London. Hallelujah. But I believe, just like Jeff, I believe that God wants to use us. He wants to use you. He's not just saying, hey, wait for the special speaker, the special evangelist, or the special this or that. It's like, you're the special this or that. If you're willing. If you're willing to just say yes to Jesus and what he has for us, I believe that he wants to use you to call us off of the benches and to say, it's time to get in. It's time to go. We're all a part of this thing. If you could open and, actually, wait. I just got one real quick thing because, man, I am so blessed by this church, for real. If I could you just give it up for Rhonda? This is my wife, Rhonda. We just want to just sow into, she has this this anointing with singing, and we just want to sing this song prophetically over this house.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dwell here. Fill this place with joy overflowing and peace overflowing and love overflowing in all of your glory. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dwell here in this church. Fill this place with joy overflowing. Yes. And your peace overflowing. And love overflowing in all of your glory. Come. Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. Praise God. So this is a place where Jesus comes into the region of the Caesarea Philippi. He asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? They start responding, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're Jeremiah, some say that you're one of the ancient prophets risen from the dead. He turns to them and says, well, who do you say that I am? And then that's when Peter replies and says, you are the Messiah sent from God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies and says, Simon, son of Jonah, woo! I believe he's so stoked. He's like, yeah, you got it. How did, woo! Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you. But my Father in heaven revealed this unto you. Yes. Hallelujah. And I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I give you all authority. All authority. On this church, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, right? So this is wild. I mean, for so long, last week we were talking about who's the real God. And he's not Santa Claus. He's not the Tooth Fairy. He's not Gandalf, right? He's not just waiting to finger on the smite button, just waiting to take us out the minute we mess up. But he loves us so much. Amen? The wild love that God has for us individually. Well, I remember when looking into this, the times I did go to Sunday school with my mom, there would be those times when I would see this cartoon Jesus. And we'd color the little things. You know, you ever see the flannel graph? You remember that? It's like the little sticks on a little green felt thing with Jesus and all his little like disciples. And it really hit me one day when I was at church, when I was pastoring out there in Brantford, and and my son came to me and he had one little coloring. And if we do that, I mean, Nadia runs a fire youth group situation over here. So I know it's not at Logos Church. Follow me. So anyways, my son comes to me with a little cartoon drawing that he had from Sunday school. And some, like, I don't know, man, like something hit me, okay? It was Jesus, but it wasn't the Jesus that I read about in the Bible necessarily. It was Jesus and he was standing there and he had like squirrels coming to him and birds landing on him and just cartoon little like fake flowers like coming all around his head, you know? I was like, what? Is this the Jesus from the Bible? I said, son, let me show you Jesus. Something rose up. I said, I gotta show you the real Jesus. Who do people say that? Let me show you the real Jesus. So I turned to the book of Revelation, actually, Revelation 19. I said, son, this is the real Jesus, all right? He's got eyes like fire. He's got many crowns on his head. He's riding on a white horse. He's got the sword of truth and the word of God coming out of his mouth. He's got the armies of heaven following him. Woo! He's got a name written on him that no one but he himself knows, and his name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I said, son, I got to show you the real Jesus. So we went back. I'm like, man, so we go back into the little, I said, let's go back. We went back into the little Sunday school room. We got another one of those little cartoon drawings. We got some more crayons, and I just started reading to him from Revelation, and he started drawing on top of the little coloring book the real Jesus. He's drawing the crowns on his head. He's drawing the armies of heaven. He's drawing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his head. He's drawing the sword out the mouth, the fire of love, the passion in his eyes looking at us. Woo! What is this squirrel master Jesus, man? I know who's trying to ride with that. No wonder why people don't want to come into the church and get saved. You know what I mean? Like, you got Wolverine over here, and you got squirrel master over here. Like, come to me. Who's trying to ride with that, man? I need the real Jesus. But for real, this is why a lot of young men, I mean, some churches you go to, there's not a lot of young men. Where are they at? I remember coming into church before, like other churches, and you see, like, what's going on? It's only like, you know, it's praying women at the prayer meeting. Da, da, da. Man, the young men are waiting to see the real Jesus. The broken world's not looking for the squirrel master to help them with their problem. The squirrels listen to me. I can summon flower power to come and bring a fragrance in the atmosphere. Where the real Jesus at, man? Who do you say that? Who do people say? Where's the real Jesus? There's something interesting about this passage in Matthew 16, and that's the clue of the region of Caesarea Philippi. The region of Caesarea Philippi. So the region of Caesarea Philippi was actually known for something. It's like if somebody says, I'm going to Niagara Falls, right? We all know, you just say Niagara Falls, but we know you go into the falls. Everything is built around the falls, right? You're not just going there you're going to the falls. That region is known for that. Caesarea Philippi was known for something called the Grotto of Pan. So it had two basically big giant cliffs that were coming up, and then at the bottom there was this source of water, this spring that came out. It wasn't a well that was dug by human hands. It was just a natural spring, right? And in this natural spring, it came up and it was a source of water that even fed into the Jordan River. So a lot of the river was coming from that source, from that place, right? Now, when Alexander the Great came to that region initially, he said, this is very auspicious. This is something very special. This is just water, pure water coming up from the ground. He thought, this is the gates to the underworld. This is the gates to Hades or hell. So what he decided to do is he decided to, well, let's make sacrifice. This is the VIP center. This is the actual gate and the portal for the underworld, the other side of the spiritual world that meets the natural world. And so they started doing sacrifices there, animal sacrifices. They would put it into the water there, and sometimes the whirlpool would suck the blood down. They believed that their gods received their sacrifice. Sometimes if the whirlpool didn't, they would have to keep sacrificing. And all the little nooks and crannies in that giant face of the cliffs, they would put their little idols there. And pilgrims would come from all over to come to the region of Caesarea Philippi for this purpose. To see the gates of hell and to make business with the spiritual side there. When the Romans came, they agreed and they said, yes, this is the gate, this is the VIP, this is the portal to the underworld. They agreed, they put Zeus and all their gods up in there and they're doing their sacrifices, completely demonic. Corinthians tells us he who sacrifices to idols, sacrifices to demons. So this is like a demon nest going on over here, right? But what I love about Jesus is so different, man. He tells his disciples, he says, all right, class, today we're going on a field trip. All right, church, you ready? We got buses waiting outside. We're going on a field trip. We're going to the hardest and darkest place on the planet right now. Let's go. Come on. You know, when you don't want to go somewhere, someone says, come on. You're like, nah, but they say, come on, you got to go. So, man, this is so different. When I used to think about church, maybe this is from an outsider's perspective looking at church. I saw everyone's closed up in their church singing their songs that I didn't understand. It was in just one little church bubble, right? And they're inside saying, so he's building his kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail. He's building his kingdom, the gates of hell will not prevail. And it was kind of like, man, Jesus is building the best castle, the best military base ever in the spiritual realm, and we're on the inside, yeah, the gates of hell can't come in and get us. This was my understanding of this passage when he says, I'm building my kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail. And then we're on the inside singing that little song, you know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And the big bad wolf of the enemy's outside, you know, he's trying to come in and trying to get us. Not let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. But I'm in my military base of the kingdom of God. I'm in a good church. I'm good. I'm okay. And every, you know, I'm just limping in the church from Sunday to Sunday, like, oh, I gotta get back to the base. I gotta get refueled because I gotta go back out and I gotta go out into the big scary world and I'm gonna protect my little light. Come into the church. Yeah, we got all our torches together. Be a bonfire up in here. But then I gotta go back out into the world for the rest of the week and problems with my marriage, problem at work. Okay, this little light of mine, don't blow it out. Yo, check out the real Jesus though. The real Jesus says, all right, church, all right, class, come on, disciples, we're going on a field trip. We're going to the hardest and darkest place. Saying that we're actually created for the offense. We're not actually created for just survival mode or for defensive mode. That's what's so important to understand about this, that he actually goes into a place, the grotto of Pan, and he's saying, yeah, you know what? I'm not just, it's not like, okay, our base is so good, our little church bubble is so good that the enemy can't come in and get us. He's actually saying, come on, we're going to the enemy's camp and the hinges on the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We're coming back in. We're coming back in to take that back. He said, hey, I made that grotto. Yes. I made that grotto. That's not Pan's grotto. That's not Zeus's grotto. I made that grotto. I want my grotto back. I'm coming to take my grotto back. Boom. Right? Man, what's going on with the LGBT thing right now in Toronto anyways? I want my rainbow back. Boom. That's not your rainbow. You didn't make that rainbow. That's my rainbow. I want my rainbow back. There's so many labels that the world is trying to put on you. But he's coming back into the hardest and darkest places, man. Jada, wherever, you name it, your high school, your workplace, those places where the enemy just, oh, this is the enemy's place. You can't have this place. Don't go there. That's the enemy. No, he's saying, nah, that's where we're going. The light was meant for that place. I want that back. Not saying this little, Jesus is coming. His love, as we talked about last time I was here, is so real. His love for us is so passionate. His love is so unrestrained that he's coming in like a blazing fire. Hebrews says that he is an all-consuming fire. He's coming in on the offensive. He said, this, he's got a flamethrower when he's coming in. Boom. This and a... I'm going to let it start. Spreading that love wherever he goes. Woo! What you know about the flamethrower? Hey, I didn't come today as a nice little motivational speaker. I came today as an arms dealer in the spirit. The reason why people... Yeah. Here you go. Flamethrowers for everybody. Flamethrowers for everybody. He already paid for them on the cross. Let's go. Wholesale. Everybody gets one. We all get to play. No one's sitting on the sideline anymore. But this is why church is so boring though to other people that don't understand. Because they think they just come in and just go, come to church on Sunday. Nah, the funnest part is the rest of the week though, when we get to go out and watch the God. Yeah, you got it. When you get to see the Tysons that are so depressed, they're almost on the verge of killing themselves, come to Christ and start a movement in their city. Are you ready for this, though? Woo, here we go. That's revival. We are in, this is a revival culture, whether I'm just letting you know. We're in it right now, Logos Church. But it's about to hit the tipping point. Because it gets really fun when we stop just, hey, okay, well, praise God. We're in it. We're in revival. Open heaven. Stuff is happening. We're touching the kingdom of heaven right now. But it gets really fun when we start taking it to the outside. Woo! Given it shall be given unto you. Something happens as we begin to give what we're getting here away. Something begins to happen where it hits a tipping point. Wow. But here, check this out though. The real Jesus. Real Jesus comes into the temple. Real Jesus comes into the temple. He sees people in there that are just kind of blocking people from actually really connecting with God, right? Saying, oh yeah, if you really want to pray, sorry, you got to jump through all these hoops, you got to do all these. That's why I love Pastor Dino, man. Pastor Dino, man, yo, you're one of the realest brothers that I know, for real. For real. No, I'm telling you that. When Jeff and I first got saved, I would come into church still rocking like a do-rag and like, you know, red do-rag, like triple XL clothes, and Pastor, he didn't even say nothing. He didn't even bat an eye, didn't even miss a step. He just hugged me. I didn't know till like months later. I was like, you know what? No one else is wearing do-rags in here. But he just loved me, man, for who I was. When, for real. Come as you are. Come as you are. He just said, come into the fire and watch. Come into the fire and watch. I remember this story. Whoa, come on. The Jamaican brother was telling me this story. He said, yeah, there was this demon-possessed guy one time in my church in Jamaica. He came up at the back and he started coming at my pastor. And the demon was saying, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut off your head, da, da, da. And the pastor didn't know what to do. The ushers are kind of froze. Everybody's kind of stunned. And he starts to tell him, and he says, oh, you want to come to me? And can I do a Jamaican? All right. Because the story is not right if you just do it not without a Jamaican accent. I don't know why. The anointing's not there if it's not a Jamaican accent. Right. So he's coming at the dude, and he said, I'm going to cut off your head if I have to go to another body, and da-da-da, I'm going to get you. And so the pastor just said, everyone's frozen. Pastor said to him, you want to come to me? Come. You want to come to me? Come. If you want to come to me, you want to kill me, you want to cut off my head, you got to come through the rain. If you come through the rain, you got to come through the fire. Come. You got to come through the rain. You got to come through the fire. If you come through the fire, you got to come through the blood. And if you come through the blood, then you're going to get saved. Come. Woo. Woo. Then you're going to get saved. The man came up to the front. Boom, hit the deck, and got set free. Come as you are. Come as you are. God can handle it. Trust me. The fire, he's got enough fire to go around. Hallelujah. So Jesus, the real Jesus, the non-passive Jesus, God help us. Let's right now, we just shed off unbelief in this neutered version of the gospel that we got. The kingdom is not about fanciful speech, but the demonstration of the spirit and power, for real. Real Jesus goes into the temple. He sees people making it hard for people to come to God. He sees people making it hard for people to go to church and to pray. Regular, common people. Right? You got to have all this money to buy all this. So, oh, real Jesus sees this. He comes up in there. He said, bah, turn over the tables of the money changers. But I want my temple back. Said, the scriptures declare that my Father's house will be a house of prayer for all nations. I want my house of prayer back. Too many churches have turned it into a house of program. He said it will be a house of prayer. Yo, for real. No, okay. Some of you, I can hear your thoughts right now. You're thinking, you're being a little too aggressive, buddy. I don't know about your interpretation of Jesus. All crazy like that. Okay, let me just ask you a question. Yo, so when Jesus comes in to the temple, right? And it says he scattered the money of the money changers and he turned over their tables. How do you think that he did that? How do you think that went down? All right. You think he's like, Bartholomew, could you come? Could you give me a hand? All right, Thaddeus, you get that side, okay? 1, 2, 3. Bro. Yo, the real Jesus came up in this. You blocking prayer? Oh! Get up! It says, you know what's crazy about that when you read that in Luke? In Luke, it says, man, and at that point, all those people were trying to kill him. You're blocking our business. You're blocking our hustle. You're blocking our, you know what I mean? But they couldn't do anything because all the people hung on to every word that he said. Watch this. After that, he spoke every day in the temple. Woo! Wow. It's not just about a moment of breakthrough. He wants to set up shop. It's a lifestyle of victory. It's a lifestyle of breakthrough when he comes up in there. Say, oh, that's too hard. You don't understand the block. You don't understand the roadblocks in the way. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand the friends that I have in my life. You don't understand my addictions. Trust me. He understands, and he's not passive. He's not passive because his love won't allow passivity. His love is so fierce. He's coming after. There's only one of you, one of your DNA, one of your friends. There's only one. He said, I need you. I want my heart back. That's what's so wild in the New Testament. He says that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Whew. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. The real Jesus is coming in with that same love. I'm sick of all those lies that people told you. I'm sick of all those lies that maybe you might have believed about me that aren't true. I'm coming in to just cleanse your heart. I want my heart back. I'm going to come and I'm going to remove everything that has hindered love. Because you're my temple. I want to dwell in you. I don't want to just visit you periodically. But I want to dwell in you. Whew. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of your Son. Holy Spirit, would you just come in right now and remove every blockage in our mind, in our hearts, every false image that has tried to exalt itself above the knowledge of you. And would you just come, God, and remove every false idea and just lift up Jesus. Would you lift up a Jesus of real love, God? Maybe you had a father or a coach or somebody in your life who was passive and didn't come and help you in your time of need. He's not that. Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All the labels are coming off. All the lies are coming off right now. All the blockages of what we labeled in the past impossibility. I would come to Jesus, but. I would go all in for Jesus, but. Time to go. It's your time. It's your time of destiny. You're not just here today by accident. Maybe someone invited you here and you decided to come. Normally you wouldn't come. It's not by accident. Hallelujah. Something powerful happened at the cross right there. Because, you know, it's so crazy. This God who actually didn't just sit back in heaven, didn't just sit back in his throne room, but he actually came down into the story. He actually entered in to say, I want you back. You're mine. I made you. Depression didn't make you. It can't have you. I remember before I met Christ, I was so depressed. I wouldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I didn't want to look at my own eyes in the mirror. I was so depressed, I didn't even want to turn on the lights because I just embraced the darkness so much. I would sleep all the time in the day and just wake up at night and do stuff at night. Listen, depression didn't make you. It can't have you. He's coming into marriages. But I want that marriage back. You said those vows at my altar. This is mine. Yo, the world can't have it. Yo, I want this marriage back. Some of you for your kids. Some of you for the promises in your life. He understands. He knows. Just how he knows you individually and he made you unique. That science even backs it up. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. Praise God. Josh, if you could just come up here. Come on. Come on, Jesus. He came down into the story. He didn't just sit back in heaven and watch it happen. He came into the story. That's how wild his love is for you. This is how powerful and fierce his love is for you. I had a lot of friends before that said, oh yeah, man, I'll take a bullet for you. They broke some guy's kneecap for me, But you know what? At the end of the day, when the police came, they weren't there. When the police came, put pressure, who's talking, you know? But this man actually come into the story and actually says, all that suffering, all that pain that you're going through, I see that. And guess what? I'm going to put it on me. I'm going to take that for you. I'm going to take all of that dirt. And you know what? Maybe this stuff is messed up in your life because you didn't make wrong choices. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, freedom to the oppressed. Some of you are in here because of something. You're a prisoner. You're a captive. It wasn't your own choices that led you there to the bondage or the struggle that you're in right now. Some of us are in here right now. And we're prisoners. We actually deserved kind of the depression or whatever that we're going through right now. But he says, both get set free. The captive and the prisoner. Whew. Praise you, Jesus. I see it all. I see it all. I see it all. And I still love you. I still got a plan for you. All the stuff that's right now, imagine in the walls of our heart, all those little things, the brokenness and the hurts and the pain. I see it all, but I still love you. I still got a plan for you. He took it all on him on the cross. And not to just wipe it out, not to just wipe it out, erase it, but he actually erased it. Then he started writing new things on top. That's the katalage of the atonement, the fullness of the exchange. I'm not just erasing it, man, but I'm giving you actually upgrades. All the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, that's all now your inheritance at the cross. All authority I give you. All authority I give you. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Here you go. Flamethrowers for everybody. It's a culture of breakthrough, a culture of victory that he's calling us into in this place of the great exchange. We don't just have to sit in the sidelines anymore. And for some of us, it's like, man, I don't really want to get saved. I don't know. I don't want to be a church person. Da, da, da. Well, guess what? We're redefining what the enemy has tried to label as church up in here. This is real. What's happening here? Man, all the drugs in the world, that's the fake, like Pastor Dino was talking about during worship. That's just the fake counterfeit forgery of the real thing that we have in the Holy Spirit. All the ecstasy, MDMA, fentanyl, they're all just fake knockoffs of the real thing that we have in the Holy Spirit. Woo! It's time. It's time. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in a life of holiness and victory. John said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me greater than I am, so much greater than I am. Talking about Jesus. Not even worthy to untie the strap of the man's sandal, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that you can actually be empowered. You don't have to be a hypocrite. Say, I don't know if I want to go and give my life to Christ because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Trust me. The fire is real. The spiritual world is real. And he will empower you. He will empower you for this journey. So I believe this is a time of impartation going to happen right now. Last Sunday that I was here, there was a powerful release of the Holy Spirit. I know it's happening all the time here. I'm just happy to be here and be involved. But as I was praying about this week, I strongly felt that there's going to be a time of serious impartation. Thank you, Lord, for those of you who want it. Love requires choice. Love requires free will. It requires choice. It's impossible to have love without free will, without choice. That's why he's giving you a choice today. He's giving you a choice today for breakthrough. Everyone could just stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I just feel the Holy Spirit just saying over some of you right now, if everyone could just close your eyes, I just feel the Holy Spirit just in a time of prayer right now saying, I love you and I want you back. If you know that's for you, I just prophesying over some of you right now, the Lord saying, I love you and I want you back. You are mine. You are mine. I created you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I have spoken a destiny and a promise over you. From the time you were in your mother's womb, I love you and I want you back. But love requires choice. And sometimes an action and a response and an opportunity for a decision activates faith. It's the ability to physically show faith, to step out, take that one little baby step in faith for God to do the rest. So if that's you, if you're the one, God said, I love you and I want you back, just come up to the front right now as just an action of faith. I want to pray with you. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Yes. Come. Just come to the front right now. Don't hold back. Yes, sister. Come on. Come. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. All over this place. All over this place. Come on. I love you and I want you back. Okay.
holding back. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today is the day of breakthrough. You know, I used to think, well, what does this mean? What does this look like? It just starts with the first step. Praise God. Whoa. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. This is awesome. Ushers, if we could begin praying with these ones, leading them to that place. Start to do business with God.